This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
It's DCR.
I like Jay Will a lot. I think he's trying to sabotage our show. Firstly, he tells us, Illinois, you got to take Illinois. They're the only one seed that's out. That's last week's issue. This week, Canty's leaving the show 7 o'clock every day this week because Jay wants him on KJZ. What gives it to you, Jay Williams?
Just fade me. I mean, if I tell you something, then take the opposite. See, I was going to talk to Rick about the fact, I mean, Minnesota Duluth, the longest game, right, in college hockey history. I mean, wasn't Rick part of one?
I was, yeah. We were four overtimes. Yep. Unfortunately, we lost. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Jay. Yeah. Appreciate it.
See?
I'm not starting off Monday on the right foot, Rick. I'm sorry.
This is DCR.
All right, DCR with you Saturday. Not Saturday. I'm sorry. Thinking about the weekend. I wish it was Saturday. Monday morning.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Why did that have to get in there? You had a perfectly good open, a perfectly good rejoin. We made fun of Jay Williams. He embarrassed himself. He brought up a painful moment with Rick and his life, and you had to go there with the Saturday. Any mistake I make's got to be the focal point of the show, huh? Great.
Suck it up. You drive the show. You talk the most. You're going to make more
mistakes.
Which
means there's even more pressure on me.
Exactly right. This is like your pro day.
So every segment I do is like my pro day. So if I throw one bad pass or say one incorrect thing, not like I killed Magic Johnson in the first hour.
But this is what we're doing, though. We need to prove to everyone that you're best pound for pound at the station. This is the kind of microscope we have to put you under, this kind of pressure.
But nobody had any idea that Magic was going to die.
I mean, Michael said he was 57. He was going to be 53 at his next birthday. I mean, people make mistakes.
He's Michael Kay, though. He's the voice of the Yankees.
So he can make mistakes.
I'm 57. I'll be 53 next Saturday.
He can make mistakes and get away with it. I make a mistake, and now it becomes, let's destroy him for it.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much
what it is. So 800-919-3776. Okay.
I will say this, though. If we did hack their Drop Madness, I mean, your drops would dominate. Would absolutely dominate Chris.
I might have two regions.
You probably would have two regions. I mean, Chris and I might just have one combined region.
Because Chris has nothing to choose from. He has
That's
Alex
not true.
Rodriguez.
Dave, we've gone down that road. Yeah. We did that last week. We have plenty to choose from with my mess ups on air. So don't start that.
Santi, play all of Chris's mess ups on air. I think there's the Alex Rodriguez. That's it.
Last year, you had to buy out Alex Rodriguez.
Just gives up. What, Santi, do you have anything else there?
Well, here's what hurts us, too. Is now
Lorenzo Carter, linebacker, Clemson.
But that wasn't even really Chris.
No, that's
but
not
I'm going to need
fault.
For the appliances to stay in their lane. Murder, you got to excuse me a little bit. I'm a huge fan. I grew up in the Bronx. I watched you guys play. I remember those back-to-back-to-back championships. Yeah, I won the Subway Series in 2000 against the Mets. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, but he didn't. He kind of embarrassed himself in being fanboy, but he didn't.
Yes.
He didn't stumble upon himself.
Yeah, that was more of a visual thing too. You had to see Chris's face when Bernie was in the studio. Chris,
he was lighting up.
Oh my God! I mean, it was.
That's my guy, man. What do you want me to say? That's my guy.
Loves Bernie.
Yeah.
If Bernie pulled out the guitar, Chris would have threw his panties onto this guy. I'm telling you right now.
I got some sexy undies.
See?
Well, here's what screws us now, too, is that we're going to lose Chris for a bunch of hours now.
We're going to have Canty. Less.
Listen, yeah, you guys know what's going down. No, that's not on me. I got to be a team player.
It's like 7 hours now we're losing.
They need me to step up. What do you guys want me to do?
Greg Canty.
You want me to be the bad guy and say I can't do it? I can't help him?
Yeah.
Really? That's what you want?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are bad guys. You're bad guys.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's
we
all
embrace
it is.
That.
You're bad guys.
We're selfish with our show. We want to talk about our show. We're not concerned with another.
Well, it's not like I'm not on our show. I'm here for 2 hours. I'm missing 1 hour to
fill
help
in
them
for me along with Greg Canty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg.
Yeah.
Greg will be on KJC. All right, time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by...
I can't win with y'all. I can't
Straight
win with
Talk
y'all. I don't know
wireless.
What to do with y'all. Monday,
by the way,
cutting up.
I'm told, Rick, that Canty Canty will be moved today. Canty Canty will now take place at 6:30 this morning instead of 6:45.
Also at 8:30, I'm hearing, on KJZ.
Are you bringing our segments to KJZ as well?
That's news to me.
Well,
that is not in the rundown. That would be news to me. I took Candy Canty to get up with Greeny. Now, it didn't seem like Rico had a problem with that last Thursday.
Oh, it's Greeny. Come on.
Oh, okay.
You know me and Greeny.
There's different roles with different people,
yes,
with Rick.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I never know. Like, Rico always moves the line. You never know exactly what he wants or what's okay with him and what's not.
That's a valid point. That is a very valid point. All right. Speaking of valid points, is this a valid point from the owner of the New York Football Giants, John Mara? He was asked by Ian O'Connor, formerly the ESPN, currently with the New York Post, does a great job, one of the great columnists that there is. Do you believe Daniel Jones looks like a quarterback who ultimately will win a Super Bowl? The answer, emphatic, yes, he does. Mara responded, and I can say that without any hesitation. I got to be honest, I love the Giants. How in the world can you sit here and tell me without any hesitation that Daniel Jones looks like he's going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback? I'm not saying he can't be, but you have no hesitation right now to tell me that he will be? How is that humanly possible?
Well, I don't think it is. I mean, I don't know what you'd expect him to say when he gets asked that question. I mean, if he's wrong, doesn't really matter. I mean, he's not the one that's going to get fired. Dave Gettleman to be the one that gets fired. I mean, what you've seen over the first 2 years, I mean, rookie year was definitely better than his second year. And his second year kind of started to trend in the right direction before he got hurt. But, I mean, I don't know if you could say without hesitation that you think Daniel Jones can win you a Super Bowl. No, I don't think you could say that.
He's got 39 turnovers in 2 years. Like, there's no way you can say that. It's hard to win when your quarterback is giving the ball away to the opposing team 20 times a season. So, I mean, no, he can't say definitively that he believes that Daniel Jones is going to win a Super Bowl for the Giants. Like, he's going to be Eli Manning-esque. You can't say that. But I think they're putting the pieces in place to try to figure out whether or not they think he can do that eventually. And I think this year is going to go a long ways to answering the question of how long they're going to stay with both Daniel Jones and Dave Gettleman. We'll find out. I think it's absolutely fair. I mean, the thing that I thought was most telling in the article by Ian O'Connor was how John Mara talked about some of the miscalculations they made going back to 2018 and how the team is still kind of paying for that. I mean, remember we had the conversation about what they should do with the second overall pick, and everybody wanted to slam us about them deciding to take Saquon Barkley over one of those potential quarterbacks. When the Giants fans look back at that draft and realize they could have had Josh Allen at number two as opposed to a running back, I just feel like you have to admit that there were some missteps from the organization, and when you have those types of mistakes, especially at the top of drafts, it sets you back years.
It's amazing to me. It really, that there are people that have the mindset that, and there are still people that think that taking Barkley was the right move. But it's amazing to me that at the time, people were so polarized with that. Listen, there's a lot of things that happen in the world of sports where there's two sides, and I don't agree with the other side, but I can see it. I never saw the other side that taking a running back second overall, no matter who that guy was, would ever make sense the way the NFL is currently constructed.
Well, at the very least, trade back, right? I mean, at the very least. I mean, if you don't love one of the quarterbacks, I mean, at the very least.
At least field a phone call on it, no?
Well, yeah, I mean, at least pick up the phone. But he was, I mean, and here's the thing, though. I mean,
Rico, it's not that they didn't love any of the quarterbacks. They lied to themselves and said they already had a quarterback in Eli Manning. That's what they did.
No, you're right. And we said it at the time. And I don't think anyone wanted to believe it. I mean, you can blame Dave Gettleman for making those decisions. That was ownership's call. Those decisions back in 2000, those were ownership's calls. Do whatever you can to build around Eli Manning moving forward. That's what he's talking about, miscalculations.
Oh, tremendous miscalculation. Now, he was also asked, this I can't believe that he says stuff like this right now. Is he good enough, talking about Daniel Jones, to win multiple Super Bowls like his predecessor, Eli Manning? Quote, I don't see why not, the Giants CEO said. If we put the right pieces around him, he can win the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't understand. How can you say something like that right now?
I don't know how you say that kind of statement, Dave. I really don't. I mean, at least Eli Manning in his second year, you saw the flashes become a lot more consistent. Like, you saw it moving in the right direction. Like, you knew that eventually this was going to be a quarterback that was consistently taking his team to the playoffs. And that's exactly what he developed into. With Daniel Jones, after the first couple of years, I don't know, Dave. I mean, you're talking about them last year having the second worst offense in all of football. To turn around and then say, I have conviction that this guy is going to lead us to a championship. I don't know how you say that. I don't know what evidence you're basing that on. Now, you can say that he has the mentality. He has the right sports character that you're looking for in a championship quarterback. All of that is good. But at some point, it's got to translate into production. And with Daniel Jones, we just haven't seen enough of that in his first couple of years.
It's almost like he's trying to talk himself into it. Like, if I say it, maybe it'll come true.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know why you would want... Like, there's already enough pressure on the kid. Like, going into year three, the moves you made, there's going to be plenty of pressure on the kid. I don't understand, like, by now saying this, I think it only adds to the pressure that Daniel Jones is under.
He goes on to say, every single one of our coaches loves the kid and believes he has the talent to win a championship. He really wants to be great. You can see that. I believe the sky's the limit with him. See, that's fine. He wants to be great. Fine. You can see that. Yes, I think that's fair. I believe the sky's the limit. All right, you know what? That's even within reason. But to say this kid is going to win championships, that's a big statement to make. When honestly, I don't even know that he's going to be the quarterback, not this coming season, but next season with this organization.
But I mean, isn't that why you draft a quarterback with a sixth overall pick? Because you think that kid is going to be capable of winning your team a championship?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just don't know. What I would argue is this is probably not the right time to be saying these things. Like, why don't we focus on, let's focus on getting into the playoffs first, and then we can start talking about your quarterback winning multiple championships. Like, maybe win a division first. Yeah, that would be nice. Make the playoffs. That would be nice.
Get to 500? That would be a treat, right?
I'm with you, though, Rico, but you got to think about it, though. John Mara's coming out and saying these things because he realizes, like, the fan base is tired of losing, right? He's trying to let them know that he's in it with them and that, you know, the days of them having double-digit loss records is coming to an end. I couldn't believe it when I saw it in this article, but the Giants have been a double-digit loss team 6 out of the last 7 seasons. The last time they won a playoff game was when I was on the team in 2011 when we won the Super Bowl. That was it.
This is a decade without a playoff
win. Yeah, but Chris, you know how dangerous this is, though, as a Yankees fan, because you always go back to it. And part of your frustration with the Yankees and what they've been doing is that Brian Cashman said, I don't want to win a championship. I want to win championships.
Yeah. And so you get held to that standard by the fan base.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
They set the expectations. So now the expectations for Giants fan that reads this article is that Daniel Jones is going to be good enough to win us championships.
Yeah, but Rico, you know what? It sets the stage for John Mara in this regard, right? If the team falls short of those expectations, and he stops short of making it a playoff edict, but if the team falls short, if they're not as competitive as he's projecting them to be, then it makes it a lot easier for him to give the fan base their pound of flesh and getting rid of Dave Gettleman and getting rid of Daniel Jones. And if they do live up to the expectations that he's setting for them, he looks like Nostradamus. So it's really not a losing situation for John Mara. He doesn't lose by coming out and saying this.
Well, plus he owns the team, so he can say whatever he wants, and it's not going to affect, you know, his job at the end of the day. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Let's go to Lonnie in Harlem. Lonnie, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning.
Good morning, family. How are we today?
We're good.
Sounds good. Now, Brother CC, you're killing me. Every day this week, you're leaving at 7. Once again, I need you on DCR. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Star me out, Lonnie. Star me out, man. What you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
I need you here, Canty. You don't understand. You're like the balance. Because when Dave and Free Range Ricky go off track, I need you here to just, you know, balance it out. That's what you're here for. And everything else, football as well. Like I said, we need you here, Canty. Uncle Rico, I was also calling to ask if you were getting ready for the Thursday Open.
For opening day?
No, for your Thursday Open.
Oh, my Thursday. I have my Lonnie, I'm glad you asked. I do have my lead in, yep.
Very good.
I have my go-to saying to open
good.
Up the show. My go-to saying to open
very
up the show is
nice.
Developed.
Very good, Uncle Rico. I'm still etched out in the corner somewhere in the basement trying to help you out. Don't worry. And now my question today about the Giants is because that's what you guys are talking about. If Joe Judge and Danny Dimes and the crew are really the guys for the jobs, what realistically is the ceiling for the Giants? I mean, you guys are talking championships because that's, you know, what the media and everybody is saying and coaches and everybody.
Not now. I mean, even if they do.
Not now. But like, what do you believe is the ceiling? Like, do you believe they can win a championship? Because, I mean, I'm hoping so because Campy and the crew was the last ones.
Lonnie, I don't think you know. I mean, this year will tell you a lot about where you think this team could go in the future with how well Daniel Jones plays. Because there's no more excuses with the moves that they've made, plus with the lad in the draft. And John Mara in the article didn't say there was a playoff mandate, but he pretty much did.
Yeah, he went right up to that line.
Yeah, I mean, I think our roster is good enough to make the playoffs. That means that he expects his team to be right there.
Yeah.
So
you better be. I mean, you've done everything to put this team in position. First of all, the division is not great, right? You're not in some loaded division. That's for starters.
Oh, it should be improved. I mean, it's improved. I mean, if Dak Prescott says something, it'd be improved.
If you were ranking the 8 divisions in the NFL, where would you put this one?
Seventh.
Eight? I mean, is it fair to say it's not a very good division compared to the other divisions?
Yes.
Okay. So Philly stinks. Washington at best is good, and Dallas at best is good. Nobody is great in this division. So, I mean, you better compete for this division this year with all you've done. You have a top 6 pick every single season now.
11. I mean, it's the 11th pick.
But still, every year you have a top selection.
Yeah, and you guys have been bad. And no one's disagreeing with you. I mean, this is, but again, you can't sit here and make, you know, proclamations for what this team should be or where, I mean, because you don't really know yet with the quarterback.
No, you have no
idea.
You
liked where he was headed last year before he got hurt. And I will give him the benefit of the doubt because of everything he dealt with, no offseason and new coaching staff and everything else. But, I mean, you tell me, what's the excuse now? There isn't one.
Well, I'm sure there will be one, but I can't imagine what it's going to be right now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
How about a little hoops update? Here's my hoops update. It goes way too late to try to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to do a show, and it goes till midnight the night before. There's your hoops update, brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's, where quality's our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. I mean, it's like Mark Emmert is toying with my sleep habits. Terrible.
Yeah, but I did see you managed to, the great Dave Wooden Rothenberg. You're up 3 late in the game. You got a foul. I don't understand it. You got a foul.
I don't. You can make fun of me all you want. You're up 3, closing seconds of a game, you foul. It should just be a staple in any basketball game, period. That's it.
How good was UCLA in that overtime, though?
We're great.
Really good.
Should have never gone to overtime, though.
I mean, Alabama, can they hit a free throw? Oh, maybe.
Killing me.
Are they 11 for 25 from the free throw line?
It's pathetic.
Ridiculous.
It's embarrassing.
More reason why you should have followed him, to your point, Dave. What are the chances he makes both free throws anyway?
Always foul. I don't understand why. I mean, with the way guys shoot threes, and the guy drained that shot.
That was a deep three, too.
Yeah, it really was. Good on him. I was stunned that he made it, but you have to foul. So you disagree with me, or you're bothered that I put out that tweet, or what's...
No, I like the tweet.
Okay.
Yeah. Dave Rothenberg's coaching philosophy. I appreciate it. I mean, you are undefeated as a lacrosse coach.
My pyramid of coaching. Like John Wooden had. Here's my take. All right, here's my take on this. My take is this is curious... What's your take? Back to the Ian article with John Mara on the signing of Kenny Golladay. Quote, I talked to him on the phone. I'm fine. Trying to recruit him as well. Fine. We've done a lot of homework on him. Fine. But I can't say he was our primary target going into free agency. That's curious, no? To why would you come out and say he wasn't your primary target in free agency?
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that meant. I mean, if you're calling him to recruit him, I mean, what was your primary goal in free agency? To make sure you got a long term deal for Leonard Williams in place? Because I mean,
why would you say that though?
I don't know. I mean, as far as the free agents that you signed, I mean, any Giants fan that called, that's Kenny Golladay is what they wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, you just sat here and told us that you think Daniel Jones is going to win, you know, Super Bowls here in his time with the Giants. You don't think having a legitimate number one receiver is a pretty big piece of that?
Well, of course it is. Of course. I mean, of course it is. 100% it is. So, I mean, they got the guy they wanted. Did they overpay a little bit? Yeah, maybe they overpaid a little bit. But, I mean, if he serves his purpose, which is, you know, he comes in at his size, can make contested catches and everything else, solidifies, okay, he's the number one wide receiver, which allows every other player on your offense to kind of fall and slot into where they should be. And he, you know, he allows you to answer that question on Daniel Jones, whether or not he can be your franchise quarterback. That's money well spent then.
That's right. If he makes the Giants good and they can compete or go to the postseason, and Daniel Jones answers the question at the end of this year of he is the quarterback of the future, even though $18 million is an astronomical number to pay for Kenny Golladay, I think it's money well spent, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, and you can stomach that, Dave, because you're not paying Daniel Jones yet. You're at least a couple of years away from doing that. So, you have some time. So being able to add Kenny Golladay to make this offense a little more dynamic, to give you somebody that can challenge, you know, every level of the defense, a receiver that can dictate front end coverage, it sets the stage for Daniel Jones to be the best version of himself. And I think that's what Dave Gettleman, John Mara, and Joe Judge was after. Now, it remains to be seen whether or not the kid can actually do it, but at least you can say the pieces are in place now. We'll see what the offensive line ends up being, but I just feel like there really aren't a whole lot of excuses as to why Daniel Jones can't have success in 2021.
No, they have put this team together now. They should be a pretty good football team. All right, another thing we didn't have a chance to discuss. It happened Friday after the show, and I spoke about it for a couple minutes on Saturday, but we have not done it as a show, and that is this Phil Jackson conversation he had with George Karl's kid. I mean, I can't stand Phil Jackson at this point, really. He blames Carmelo. He blames Derek Fisher. He blames the media. He blames everyone. The one person he doesn't blame is himself for the disaster that he was with the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want to say about it? I mean, it's embarrassing. He was an absolute nightmare as the GM of the New York Knicks. He was terrible. The coaches he hired, the fact that, you know, Derek Fisher, I mean, he was, again, I mean, you hired him, he's an unknown, but eventually it looked like, okay, you know, maybe he's starting to figure this thing out, and then the second he starts to figure it out, you decide, nope, we're not running enough triangle, we're going to have triangle camp and everything else. Falling asleep at workouts, I mean, it was a mitigated disaster is what it was.
Yeah, but it's bad enough, we know it was awful, but now you're going to come out and blame everybody else for the awful job that you did? He was terrible as the GM of the Knicks, so let's just own it, let's admit it, I was bad. I don't know why you have to go on there and say anything, nobody's clamoring for answers from Phil Jackson at this point.
Dave, he was sleeping on the job, literally and figuratively. Like, he was going to workouts for draft prospects and falling asleep. Like, it was clear from the outset of this thing that James Dolan threw a bag of money at Phil Jackson, made him an offer he couldn't refuse. He took the job reluctantly, and he half-assed it. There's no other way to describe Phil Jackson as the head executive for the New York Knicks. There's no other way to describe it. That's what it was. He took advantage of an owner that was desperate to win. And now the Knicks are scurrying to try to rebuild the foundation for what this team will be in the future. Now, Leon Rose and this regime are off to a hell of a start. But, I mean, this was a pretty big hole that these guys had to help dig themselves out of.
It's a huge
I mean, to blame the fans is a joke. Because every New York Knicks fan that I knew was pumped when they
everybody was
Phil
excited
Jackson.
About it.
Everyone was excited.
Blame the media and blame the fans. I mean, you were awful. Look at the Knicks record; they're like 80-166 when he was running this team. How can you blame anybody but yourself?
The biggest problem with Phil Jackson is, and he says it in the article on the podcast, is he took over this team, and what he should have done was coach the team.
Yeah.
That's what
he physically
done.
Couldn't, right? That's
well,
what
he physically
said.
Couldn't, but you can't be the you can't do what he did and then try to pull the strings of your head coach. That never works. Never. Like, I hired Derek Fisher because, you know, he was one of my leaders in LA and he knew the system. Well, guess what, Phil? No one on that team wanted to play your system. So as the head coach, you have to adapt to the players that you have, which is what he tried to do. And then you came in and then tried to reassert yourself with the triangle.
And you put your head coach in a bind because players don't know who to listen to. Am I listening to Derek Fisher? Am I listening to Phil Jackson? Like, that's what it becomes. You undermine the authority of your head coach with the players in the locker room. How are you going to have success as a franchise doing that? You're not.
No, you didn't.
And if you didn't want Carmelo, don't sign him. Or just come out and tell us that the reason why you had to sign Carmelo was because James Dolan wanted you to sign Carmelo. We all know that we all assume that Carmelo was not a great leader, right? We all assume that. Not a great leader. Well, if that was the case, and you didn't think it was gonna fit in your locker room with what you were trying to do, or he'd buy into your triangle and everything else, then why did you re-sign him and give him a no-trade clause?
It makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. But you did it. That's the thing I don't understand. You sit here and blame the media. You sit here and blame the coach. You sit here and blame the player. You're the crux. You're the genesis of why everything went south when you were here. You were terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why now he chose the time to, like, no one was talking.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Knicks are doing great. The Knicks are, I mean, they are so exciting and so relevant, and they're winning games, and they're above 500, and the Knicks fan could not be more excited. Is there anybody out there that was clamoring, saying, you know what I'd like to hear now, as the Knicks are above 500 and actually relevant for the first time in forever? What is Phil Jackson thinking? What is Phil Jackson thinking about the whole situation of what went down? No, just go away. Nobody wants to hear from you. We know you stunk.
Yeah, but again, I mean, we're sitting here like, it's not our fault that we're actually intelligent basketball fans, so we understand, well, I mean, how bad you were at your job. And then to criticize the media and everything else, well, don't tweet then. Like, I mean, you want to tweet out, I learned you don't change a spot on the leopard. Well, what do you think is going to happen when you tweet that out? You don't think that the media is going to dissect every word of that and try to figure out what you're talking about?
Awful.
He took it, I mean, listen, I had the highest hopes for Phil Jackson when he took over.
Couldn't have been worse.
And it could not have gone worse.
It could not have been worse.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN. It's everyone's favorite. Can he or can't he?
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Ah, yes. A little earlier on this Monday, and I hope you all had a great weekend, or in Dave's case, a pleasant Saturday morning to you all.
Not going to go away, is it?
All right, let's get rolling here. Adam Schefter said over the weekend, 17-game schedule, get ready. We've been hearing about it, but it's coming. Not everyone loves it. I would understand why the players don't love it. Notably, Saints running back Alvin Kamara, who tweeted the idea is, quote, dumb as hell. So, I get why he would say that, but can we call this 17-game schedule dumb as hell?
No, I don't think we can. I mean, Alvin Kamara may not like it, but I'm sure he likes his paycheck. And the reason why he's getting paid as much money as he is because revenue being generated by the sport is so big. So, I mean, I don't think you can call it dumb. I actually like the idea as a fan that we get an opportunity to see some marquee matchups that we wouldn't usually see. Like this year, we'll have the potential to see Green Bay take on Kansas City. Who doesn't want to see Aaron Rodgers face off against Pat Mahomes? Like, I would love the opportunity to get those non-conference matchups that we wouldn't typically get with the primary crossover opponents that each division faces. So I love the idea. So we can't call it dumb as hell.
Dumb as hell? This is the greatest news we've had in years. This is phenomenal. I get an extra week of football. Listen, Alvin Kamara can be upset. Anybody, any player, I have an extra game. My body's going to break down. Whatever, I get that. I understand that. For us, this is the best news we've had this offseason. Phenomenal. I can't say that. I can't even think that. And I wouldn't.
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited. I can understand where he's coming from, though. All the NFL preaches is, you know, player safety and everything else. It's like, okay, we get it. There's nothing to do with player safety. It's about you making money. In the 17th game, I mean, you saw what everyone saw what those TV deals look like, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So you're making that money.
It's actually been 43 years since they last changed it. And we talked about this a little bit before on the Zoom call. In the end, do you remember how many votes the new CBA passed? It was right before the pandemic, because that kind of led to where we are now in the 17th game. Do you remember how tight that margin was?
60 votes.
60 votes. I just looked it up. Crazy. Giants co-owner John Mara. You guys talked about it. Talked to our buddy Ian O'Connor, the New York Post. And he said the following when asked about whether or not Daniel Jones looks like a potential Super Bowl winning quarterback. Quote, yes, he does. I can say that without any hesitation. I get why he would say that. But can Giants fans really feel confident in Daniel Jones potentially winning a Super Bowl?
No, they can't feel confident about DJ winning the Super Bowl. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't root for him, but based on what we've seen his first 2 years, there's no way you can feel confident about it. He's had 39 turnovers in his first 2 years. There's no way you can say he projects to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Eli Manning in year two actually took the team to the playoffs. Like, Daniel Jones and his Giants team was a far cry from that last year. So, no, you can't feel confident in that.
It's absurd. You can't. I could sit here and spend the next 20 minutes why you can't, but I think it's very obvious. No. There's just no way. And I think it's a ridiculous question, to be honest with you. Can he take this team to multiple Super Bowls?
I can't even open the show up on a Thursday without hesitation. So, no. I don't think you can say that Daniel Jones can win a Super Bowl.
He's more confident about Jones winning multiple Super Bowls than you are of opening the show on a Thursday. It's a very good point.
All right, Kevin Durant. I'm starting to get a little worried about Kevin Durant, just as a basketball fan. He won't play against the T-Wolves. Steve Nash said he doubts Durant plays this entire week. Hamstring strain is the official injury on the report that sidelined him since mid-February now. Here's my real question. Can we expect Kevin Durant, because we expect him to return, to actually be Kevin Durant whenever he does come back?
Yeah, I'm expecting him to be Kevin Durant when he does come back. The only reason I feel like we haven't seen him sooner is because they don't need him right now. I mean, this Nets team is literally on cruise control. And with getting Kyrie Irving back tonight, like, I just don't feel like there needs to be any urgency in terms of bringing Kevin Durant back. There's still plenty of time in the regular season left for them to be able to establish chemistry when he does come back. So I'm not going to panic as of yet, but I am concerned.
I would agree. When he returns, he will be and can be Kevin Durant that we've come to love. My question would be, when is he going to come back? And is he going to come back? I think that's got to be a real concern now. He's been out for a long time, and every week it's next week. And remember, he was going to come back right after the All-Star break. And now we are, a month after that? And now it's going to be at least another week. And what happens next week? Then it's another week and another. So I think when he comes back, he can be that player. My question would be, when and if does he?
I think he comes back, and the only way he does come back is if he's going to be the Kevin Durant we're used to seeing. Otherwise, he wouldn't come back. Not with what happened to him last time in Golden State. And they don't need him right now. So they got to make sure that he's 100%. So when he's back, he stays back, and they get some continuity leading into the postseason.
Nets in second place in the East. You know who's in fourth place?
The Knicks.
Fourth place! Fourth place!
I don't have anything on them. I just wanted to play that.
Yes,
I really enjoy that.
You can do it all show long. It's fine for me.
Fourth place! Fourth place!
All right. Let's chicken on the bet. James Harden called himself MVP over the weekend. Dave Rothenberg won't call him MVP. Says he will not win MVP this weekend. To recap, Rick gets James Harden for MVP. Dave gets the field. In the event that Dave loses, there's a video that will hit the public that features running around, Dave naked, a lot of things that are somewhat troubling, but we all, I think, want to see it regardless. So can Dave feel good about his bet?
No, he can't, but I think we can feel good about it as a show unit. But no, Dave has got to be concerned about it. He's fought against trying to release this video for years now, and the fact that we actually have a chance that the video could be released in the next couple of months, kind of excited.
Yeah, every couple of years I give you the opportunity to win viewing of the video, and this is going to be another one of those where you feel like it's going to happen, and then no, it's not going to happen. No, he can't win the MVP. I stand by it. I mean, and I think Rick, even this morning earlier on in the show, admitted he doesn't feel great about the chances of one James Harden.
Let me ask you a question with this video. How much of the junk do we actually see in the video?
Yeah, you see it.
The entirety of the junk.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But we can't release that.
We'd have to digitize it. We'd have to do it like someone to witness protection. That's right.
Maybe we could give away some kind of win your way into a viewing party where you see the audience.
I see everything.
Yeah, exactly right. Sign a waiver. It's going to definitely, the blur is going to be like a really, it's going to be short and thick, I would imagine.
It could take up the whole thing. You might not see anything. Just hear me singing, "We Are the Champions."
It's like a short, thick blur. Much more width. I will say, I got to have some conviction.
Come on, be honest.
If I'm being honest, I don't love it. At the moment, I don't love it, no. Because I think you're going to get, Kyrie comes back. You're going to get Kevin Durant back at some point. And I think sometimes perception is reality. He's already started behind. Now you add, LaMarcus Aldridge to this team. I mean, it's almost like, it's not even fair at this point.
And do you think the media wants him to win it?
No. No, I don't. I think part of how he left Houston is going to hurt him, anyway. And now I don't think this helps.
Well, real quick, we'll wrap it up. I know Chris has to fly, but who do you think does win it then?
Jokic.
I would agree with probably Dave right now.
Who else are the major contenders?
Well, Embiid got hurt. I mean, he was right there.
LeBron is still ahead of Harden.
LeBron's hurt.
Giannis is ahead of Harden.
Chris Paul should get conversation.
No, he's not either. I would make another wager with that if you wanted.
No, I'm saying he should. Part of the conversation. Dame Lillard should be part of the conversation.
All right, let's let Chris go. Let's end and Candy Canty. Chris, we will see you tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock, bright and early here on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, guys, have a good one.
All right, goodbye. That, of course, Chris Canty. So here's my take on the whole Harden thing. I just want to explain it one more time. I never have ever said I don't think he's deserving of winning MVP. or shouldn't be in the conversation for MVP. My take was he's not going to win MVP. And I feel as good today about that as I have the entire time we've discussed it. That's it.
No, I understand what you're saying. But, I mean, again, I said this months ago that the conversation would start James Harden deserving of the MVP. And I think how things lined up with Kevin Durant being hurt, Kyrie, again, taking some time for personal reasons, having maintenance days and everything else, the way he's played, I mean, it was starting to pick up a lot of steam. That people were starting to say, you know what, as bad as it was at the beginning with how it turned out in Houston, what he did, we don't appreciate. And again, it's people voting for this. They don't like how that whole thing happened. I mean, he was a baby, fat, quit on his team, and he got exactly what he wanted. So they're going to hold that against him. But, I mean, that narrative was starting to turn a little bit with how this was a different version of James Harden we were seeing. I just don't think now, with the addition of Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge, even though, I mean, it's not the Blake Griffin that we're used to seeing or the LaMarcus Aldridge in his, you know, at his, the all-star caliber that we've seen him at, I think the perception is there's too much talent now. You know what I'm saying? Like, as good as James Harden will be, it's like, this is now a super team.
Yeah, he carry this team on his back to where they're
exactly
going to go. Yeah.
Well, look, because don't you hear that conversation all the time? Like, the whole, go back. When it was, Embiid got off to an unbelievable start, right? And LeBron was having a great season. But it was Embiid at the top and LeBron right there. And then all of a sudden, Anthony Davis gets hurt. And the whole conversation was, oh, now with Anthony Davis hurt, LeBron James can prove to everyone that he's the MVP.
And he did.
Exactly right. So that goes in that you have to bake that into these people making these decisions. Is they look at stuff like that. Like if your team is really good, you don't necessarily get as much of the praise as you know what I mean? Like it.
Of course, I know what you mean. I mean, listen, if Ky, and I think it only hurts his chances if Kyrie comes back and plays great and Durant comes back and plays great and Griffin does his thing. And LaMarcus Aldridge starts playing a bunch. I mean, yeah, he's great. He's a wonderful player. He's a top. I mean, you could say he's having the best season. But I think it detracts from him winning the MVP. I think that detracts. And I think the fact that the voters probably don't want to give it to him detracts.
Yeah, I think that all. I mean, that all goes into it. Unfortunately for me, that making this bet. But I mean, again, I'm giving money to charity. So who
really cares? What's the downside for you, really?
The downside is I don't get to see the video.
Well, okay, but you weren't going to get to see the video anyway. So now at least you have a modicum of a chance to see the video, and as a loss, you give $250 to a charity? I mean, that's not exactly a loss.
No, it's not a loss, but the people lose, because you just said it. It takes years. Like, it's going to take, once this bet is over, and either I win or I lose, let's just say I lose, now I got to wait, the audience has to wait at least a year or two.
It's like an eclipse.
Exactly. I mean, if that's how you want to describe your naked body, yeah, it would be like an eclipse.
Like an eclipse. I mean, it could take years to just have the opportunity to see it again.
Which is unfortunate, because the way you describe, I mean, your jungle region, I think people need to see it.
Well,
they want to see it.
Has to see it, but it really is unbelievable.
You said it's gorgeous.
It's beautiful, but I don't know that my full naked body is beautiful.
Listen,
I've never said that.
You're a great guy, right?
Okay.
Back when you got married, you were a handsome guy. But the reality
I think
there's got to be a
little
something.
Now you're implying that I'm not handsome any longer?
No, I still think you're handsome.
Okay.
But, I mean, Sherry is, I mean, she's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
So there have to be something a little extra. And I'm leaning towards, if we saw this video, that would, now all of a sudden.
Oh, and we'd be like, it would kind of put all the pieces in place.
Exactly right.
Take it.
So all the naysayers would be like, okay, now I
get it. Oh, now it makes sense.
Now I get it.
Like that Ron Jeremy is landing women. They'd be like, oh, now, okay.
Exactly right.
I got you.
But we don't know until you've told me. Like, I've heard stories about it. I just need to, I would like to confirm it for the people.
I understand what you're saying. Okay, very good. Let me ask you this, and let's open it up to the Jets fans as well. 800-919-3776. Do you fully believe in Joe Douglas? You personally, Rick DiPietro, do you fully believe in what Joe Douglas is doing right now?
He's given me no reason not to believe in him.
Yes.
I didn't love, I mean, his free agency, I mean, last year free agency wasn't, I mean, didn't hit a home run. I like the moves that he's made this offseason, but no. To your original question, he's done nothing to make me not believe in what he's doing.
And therein lies my point, because I've heard so much this weekend of, it should be Darnold, you shouldn't take Wilson, you should have traded down, you should have stockpiled picks, planned for the future, blah, 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 blah. Here's my one point. Listen, Darnold, is it going to be Wilson? Is it going to be Lance? Is it going to be Fields? Are you going to trade down? I don't know what the right thing. Like, for me personally, I think the right thing is to continue to roll and take the quarterback at two, build around him, reset the money, all that stuff. But for me, the bottom line is this, Rick, and you just kind of said that you agree. I believe in Joe Douglas. I think he did well in year one in the draft. I think he's a smart NFL guy. He's a good talent evaluator. So until I'm shown a different reason to not believe him, I believe in what Joe Douglas is doing. So whatever he does in this draft, I'm gonna stand by it until I have reason not to.
Yeah, but here's the other thing I find interesting too. When we ask all these people, Dan Graziano, you know, Adam Schefter, all these insiders about the trade value of Sam. I mean, they always preface their answer by saying, you know, the team that trades for him isn't gonna all of a sudden now have him as their clear cut starting quarterback. Right, we've heard that a couple different times. They trade for him, probably end up as a backup with a chance to kind of resuscitate his career. Well, if that's the case, if all these teams look at Sam as, yeah, he's got talent, but I can't just all of a sudden make him my starting quarterback.
Now you want to move forward with him as the face of your franchise when you have other choices right now?
When you have the second overall pick. Here's the only thing. Hear me out. Here's the only thing that concerns me a little bit.
About what, not continuing with Sam or Zach Wilson specifically?
Zach Wilson specifically.
Okay.
Second overall pick, okay, if I were to ask Dave Rothenberg, NFL savant, give me your top five coaches in the NFL.
Oh, I hate what you put me on the spot. Like, well, Belichick.
Belichick, of course.
Andy Reid.
I love how Belichick said, too, Joe Judge is better than those other two guys you hired.
Andy Reid.
Correct. Sean Payton,
yes.
Okay, for this exercise, would you put Kyle Shanahan in the mix?
In the mix, yes.
Okay, so that's what concerns me a little bit, is that now all of a sudden I got Kyle Shanahan at three, taking a quarterback, which concerns me a little bit.
But well, I don't understand, why does that concern you?
Because not all of these quarterbacks are going to be really good. We assume that Trevor Lawrence is going to be really good because he's just, that's what we've seen from him so far. So, I mean, between Wilson, Fields, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones, all four of those aren't going to be great quarterbacks.
Agreed. So, are you really so neurotic that you're going to tell me because you trust Shanahan and John Lynch so much that you think they get it right at three, which lessens the Jets' odds of getting it right at two?
No, I don't think it lessens it, but it does make me question why they're not as hell-bent on whoever the Jets take. Like, if you're gonna mortgage that much of your future with draft picks
to not take Zach Wilson,
that concerns me a little bit. And now they're a perfect
situation. It's a fair point, but would you agree that? And I had this argument with people on Saturday. They were calling saying you don't know that there's going to be many good quarterbacks in this draft. I mean, if you get five quarterbacks taken in the first round, would you agree that at least two, if not three, are going to be really good NFL quarterbacks?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Because Trevor Lawrence seems like, you know, I mean, everything we've heard of Trevor Lawrence. Now, we haven't seen him in the NFL, but it just feels like he's that kind of prospect that's going to have success. Jacksonville stinks, but still he's good enough to make up for how bad they've been. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about the other four. And it usually ends up quarterback drafted into the best situation. San Francisco was perfectly set up for whoever they draft.
Yes.
So I would lean on it. Whoever they draft is going to have success. Especially if you're going to keep Jimmy Garoppolo, where the kid can actually sit back and learn. It'd be like just like what happened with Kansas City.
That's right. And it's a good team. I mean, their offensive line is really good. They sign Alex Mack. They have a good running attack, right? I mean, they have good receivers. They have a great tight end. They have a good defense. They have a good coach. So, yeah, that's a better situation than the Jets. I'd agree with that.
So that's the only thing that concerns me a little bit. Like, so who is it that they really like? Like, to give up as much as they gave up, there's a quarterback that they really like. And it would and I would imagine they know exactly who the Jets are going to take.
The Jets are going to take Zach Wilson.
Okay, so who is it that they like? Is it Trey Lance or Justin Fields or Mac Jones? Because whichever one they like, now I'm saying to myself, well, how come Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah, but you can't do that. See, that's just because you're a Jets fan and you've been pushed into feeling like that. You can't look at another team and say, they like this guy, they're so well run, that makes me nervous, and not just believe it. That was my point, is that until I'm shown otherwise, I'm going to believe in what Joe Douglas is doing.
I know what you're saying. and you're right, and that's how I feel because we really have no control of it. All I'm saying is we've seen the track record with Kyle Shanahan, the quarterbacks that he's worked with. Like, you go, I mean, go through the quarterbacks that he's worked with. Even when Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt, I mean, C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins can actually play.
That's right.
Matt Ryan wins an MVP.
There's this report the team should go out and make moves for Nick Mullins because he's a really good quarterback in the NFL, right?
But that's what he does. And in the system, these quarterbacks have success. I'm just hoping that Mike LaFleur takes that system and has the same kind of effect on the quarterback that they end up drafting.
Let's take a listen to Zach Wilson. Here he is from his pro day on Friday. How would you feel about getting drafted by these Jets?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a dream come true. You know, it's great to see those guys out here. You know, I've spent some time with them on Zoom meetings and talking back and forth a little bit, you know, but nothing more than, you know, than any other team. And so, you know, coming up to the draft, you know, there's so many what ifs, you know, going in. But really, I'm just so grateful to be here, grateful for the opportunity and humbled that I'm even in the situation. So I'll be happy with whoever gives me the chance to draft.
Now, Canty's not here, so I can say it without anybody becoming uncomfortable. If he's really good, New York will fall in love with him because he's a really good-looking kid. He's a really good-looking kid.
Yeah, he's
and
a really good-looking kid.
He's a good quarterback. Look out.
No, you're right. You're not wrong. But again, I mean, there's more than just being a good quarterback that has lots of talent to have success in New York. I think that's why there's a party that feels like Daniel Jones can have success in New York because of his mentality,
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think his demeanor and his mentality is right. But all I'm saying, and I will stand by this, and we can line up the Jets fans at 800-919-3776. Until there's a reason for me to not believe in Joe Douglas, I will believe in Joe Douglas. This 98.7 ESPN Hoops Update brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the only triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Well, two more games in the NCAA tournament tonight at 7:15, Oregon State and Houston. You know the coach of Oregon State's name? I'm surprised you haven't brought that up at any point.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to. You know me. I'm trying to control myself, David.
Tinkle. I'm shocked.
You know, hey, how about this? Friday night into Saturday night, whole night, not one tinkle. Entire night.
Really? Wait, from when Friday?
So from, I shut it down 8:15 on Friday till the time I woke up in the morning, not one tinkle.
Really?
Not one.
Wow.
It's like my body was like, you know what?
Maybe because of the coach at Oregon State.
Maybe
because of Wayne Tinkle. You didn't have to do that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.